Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in a Tuesday edition, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. 2 days from Thanksgiving. We know a lot of you are on the road traveling all over the country. We appreciate you finding a way to listen to the show. Also having a fantastic time here. I am in Florida, where my family has already begun to relocate here for the week of Thanksgiving. Buck is in New York City. And we have to begin the show by commending the interview with Kyle Rittenhouse that Tucker Carlson did last night. If you have not watched the entire interview, I would encourage you to go do so. You can watch it on YouTube. They have posted it all. This is, I believe, a signature moment in narrative lies overtaking true facts, and the world that we have created being so divergent, where people on the left wing believe Kyle Rittenhouse may have killed minorities, had no justification, crossed state lines with a rifle, and got away with murder. And for the most part, they believe that because they haven't paid any attention to the actual evidence in this case at all. But hearing Kyle Rittenhouse speak, both on the witness stand in his trial and also with Tucker Carlson walking through all of the decisions that he has made, it is difficult not only to recognize that Kyle Rittenhouse is not guilty of any crime, but also I think it's difficult to argue that this is not a teenager that you should hold in some measure of esteem. That is, you should be happy to employ him based on what I have seen. You should be happy to be his teacher if you were in school. You should be happy that he has gone on to education at Arizona State right now, presuming they don't kick him out, although I'd be afraid that that might happen, and I hope that there are other universities out there that would extend a hand to him in the event that that occurs at Arizona State. Buck, I would even go so far as to say of people who could take your daughter to prom. Kyle Rittenhouse is not in an awful category there. I know there are a lot of dads out there that get really nervous about who might take their daughter to prom. Based on the interviews that I've seen with this kid, there are a lot worse prom dates out there than Kyle Rittenhouse. He is 100% innocent, and what the media has done to him, Buck, is one of, I would put it in context with Richard Jewell on some level. I would put it in context with Duke Lacrosse. It is one of the great failures of American media that this kid was ever charged with a crime and that anyone is going to say he belongs in jail. And anyone who is arguing this is arguing it not based on the facts, but based entirely on the narrative that they want to believe. Did you have the same takeaways having watched this interview and also the trial?
Yes.
It's not just
yes.
the interview.
Yes, absolutely. And the more that you learn about Kyle Rittenhouse, the more you actually start to see that he's a heroic kid.
Yeah.
You know, self-defense, you might not say necessarily is an issue of heroism. It's an issue of necessity. And he defended himself against the mob. But his act, remember, what they tried to say for a while was that his very presence, and, you know, now that I know more about this, now we all know more about it, my concern about Rittenhouse going there had always just been, and you and I had discussed this with everyone on air, I'm trying to be honest with the audience and say, would I advise my own blood, would I advise my own dear friend, family member, whatever it may be, go into that maelstrom and deal with these lunatic forces that have been unleashed in the city of Kenosha, and out of maybe prudence, risk aversion, I would say I'm not sure he should do that. But that's a different thing than saying his motives for being there weren't beneficial, weren't heroic even. And I think the more we've seen of Kyle Rittenhouse, heard in his own words why he was there, what he was doing there, what his purpose was, how he conducted himself, even in the midst of all of that, just utter madness, malevolence. I mean, there was evil in that city that night. And Kyle Rittenhouse showed up anyway. And, you know, look, I know a lot of people that have been on the front lines of combat situations. I deployed as a CIA analyst to some of the war zones and saw the real door kickers and the people who are outside the wire wearing the uniform and what they were doing day in and day out. And for me, it's like, I might tell my own son, I don't know if I would want you to deploy, but it's still heroic when they make that choice to fight against those who would do us harm, who would tear down our society. So I think Kyle Rittenhouse has had, in some ways, one of the biggest, for anyone who's open to facts,
yes,
for anyone who's open to what really happened, the narrative transformation here, and I always thought it was self-defense, I always thought that he was being railroaded and all that, but the more you learn about this kid, the more likable, decent, honorable, and brave it's obvious he was, and that's why I think the Tucker interview was so powerful. And even because we hadn't heard from him, right? Except up on the stand when he's on trial for his life. And now that you see this, I think though, Clay, you know, when you said the media failed, this is the part of it that we have to come to grips with. The media didn't fail. The left-wing media didn't fail. This is their purpose. Their purpose was to malign this kid and try to get him sent to prison forever. They are an organ of left-wing propaganda. They are with the mob. They are the PR team for Antifa. This is who they are. So I know you're saying they failed because they pretend that they're there to give the truth. But you and I and everyone listening knows
that's not
really their purpose. Their purpose is to achieve political ends. And they failed to get Kyle Rittenhouse sent to prison forever. But they convinced half the country that he murdered unarmed black protesters for a year. So they got pretty darn close to their goal of ruining his life.
Yeah, it's a good point. And when I say failed, this may be, again, me coming from the perspective of I want to believe that there is a great number of persuadable people out there. And increasingly, I think that's true. When I say failed, I'm really just genuinely disappointed at the laziness, Buck. Because I do agree there are certain people who are actually intelligent, and to use your word, have a malevolent idea, right? Like the malevolent. They're trying to destroy what is built up. I think the true number of evildoers that are smart enough to do that in the media is actually pretty small, right? Because as you know, most media are sheep. They follow wherever the herd goes. They don't do their own research. They don't actually look at the data or the facts. And what I see consistently is so many falsehoods being spread about this kid. And I think it's laziness more than it's evil intent.
Oh, I think it's evil intent. I think they're the propagandists of the left seeking to undermine core tenets of our civilization, our rule of law. Clay, I think they're true believers, man. I think most journalists who, now when I say most journalists, there are journalists who are covering finance in Orlando, or, you know,
right,
I'm not talking
about them.
Right.
I think
I'm
most
talking
journalists
about
are dumb.
The people.
And that they're sheep. Well, they, as opposed to evil.
There's a lot of dumb journalists, but the voices, the very loud, prominent, national voices who were trying to destroy Kyle Rittenhouse. Here's how we can test my theory about their malevolence versus, by the way, of course, there's a lot of lazy, stupid journalists. There's a lot of lazy, stupid, a lot of things though, right? I think journalists in general are more delusional and less useful than most other professionals.
I would agree to a large extent with that. Yeah,
there's no question.
Here's an easy test, Buck. If you knocked out half of mechanics or plumbers in this country, there would be a massive issue.
We'd have problems.
Yeah.
We'd have problems.
If you knocked out half of journalists, I don't think there would be much of an issue.
Yeah, and also if a plumber or a truck driver or, you know, a mechanic or a doctor, you know, a surgeon messes up big time, there are consequences. People are upset.
True.
With journos, that actually draws me to my next point. If it wasn't, remember what Kyle Rittenhouse said in the Tucker interview? He said that, you know, Joe Biden running as a candidate.
Yes, we need to play that audio.
We should grab that. Defamed his character in a way that was malevolent, in a way that would rise to the standard. We talked about this.
Well,
can Kyle sue?
That's a great debate.
You know, that's going to be very interesting. I hope Kyle, you know, sues the you-know-what out of all of these people.
Yes.
But how many journalists, and when I use that term loosely, really media people, how many of them have come forward and said, you know what, I rushed to judgment on this one. I said things about Kyle Rittenhouse that were not true. I spread facts about zero.
Zero.
So if it were about laziness and if it were about we just made mistakes in our profession, we want to make this right, wouldn't they come forward? I mean, you look at somebody, you look at that absolute imbecile, Joe Scarborough, on the mornings over at MSNBC, just going on TV, untrue, over and over again about Rittenhouse. He's not embarrassed. I mean, it's like I said to you, when that guy wrote the New York Times op-ed, what'd we do the next day? Our team said, Buck, you got the guy's name wrong. Got to correct it right away. Got to use the right name for
people. You and I are legitimately embarrassed.
I'm not going to say I lost sleep over it, but I was annoyed at myself. You know, I was hitting the heavy bag a little harder. Point here being, we actually at least operate in the realm of fact, reason, and some accountability. Think of the brand value here. If you were a true journalist to come forward and say, I got Rittenhouse wrong, guys, and I'm embarrassed and I will do better.
Yes.
Not one person I've seen.
It is a great point. And by the way, let's play cut two. This is Rittenhouse last night. And this is legally, I think, an utterly fascinating question. If he brings lawsuits against all these people, including President of the United States Joe Biden, who at the time was running for political office, listened to Rittenhouse last night about on Tucker addressing Joe Biden.
Mr. President, if I could say one thing to you, I would urge you to go back and watch the trial and understand the facts before you make a statement. It's actual malice defaming my character for him to say something like that.
It's not simply Biden who said that. It's a lot of people on television have said that. A lot, dozens of people have said that. I'm sorry to tell you in case you haven't seen it.
Yeah. It's actually quite hysterical how nobody can go back and look at the facts of the case. He crossed state lines, false. He's a white supremacist, false. None of that is true. And the lies that they can just get away with spreading is just sickening, and it's a disgrace to this country.
If Joe Biden had any honor, Clay, if he were the good guy, you know, Joe from Scranton with the rolled up sleeve, you know, I'm one of the folks. I'm one of the folks at the dinner table with you. The whole thing that he does, he would apologize like a real man for what he said about Kyle Rittenhouse. You and I both know, what are the chances of that happening?
0%. 0%. And we need to continue to talk about this because Rittenhouse has potentially options like Nicholas Sandman did. In the Covington Catholic case, they're more complicated, and I'll explain exactly why that is as we continue to roll through the rest of the show. By the way, Newt Gingrich scheduled to join us and our friend Will Cain from Fox News, all that on the horizon here with the Tuesday edition of the program. In the meantime, Salvation Army helps more than 30 million Americans in poverty battle daily challenges. You can help ensure hope marches on this holiday season. Across the country, millions of Americans are reeling from economic situations, including lost jobs, income loss, hunger, the inability to pay bills. They're being forced to make difficult decisions between basic needs. For many, these choices can mean the difference between home and homeless. Salvation Army has provided more than $100 million in rent and mortgage assistance over the last 18 months, and they have more than 7,600 centers of operation across the country. They provide nearly 10 million nights of shelter for those with nowhere else to go each year. You can make sure hope marches on this Christmas season by dialing #250 on your phone and saying Salvation Army. You'll have the opportunity to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message that links to a donation form. That is by dialing 250 on your phone and saying, Salvation Army, do it today.
They're still lying about Kyle Rittenhouse. They don't really seem to care that we've all now seen the facts. He's giving an interview, gave an interview to Tucker Carlson. Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. And they hate this kid. Even though he's been shown to have done nothing wrong from a legal perspective, also nothing wrong from a moral perspective, unless the real position, and I think there was a moment where it was clear the prosecutors here, a bunch of libs, probably watch a lot of MSNBC, there was a moment, I said the Milwaukee DA, we'll talk more about Waukesha later on, Clay, the Milwaukee DA in Waukesha is in fact the same guy who sent in, like the stormtroopers in pre-dawn raids, going after Scott Walker Associates for campaign coordination that was illegal between PACs and the campaign. And then you weren't allowed by law in Wisconsin. It was the abuse of a John Doe law meant to keep people's identities safe when they're being investigated. You weren't allowed to talk about it. That's why it was so horrific. So just these are the kinds of lib prosecutors that are involved in this.
They've got blood on their hands. They're imbeciles.
And he's the one who made the decision, or his office, I should say, made the decision to let out Brooks, who then killed all these people.
For $1,000.
They're reviewing it, for $1,000. But just if I can, back for a moment here to why they hate Kyle Rittenhouse. They hate him more, I think, because he's now shown to be a good kid.
Yeah.
They hate him because they stand with the shot rape child rapist and the wife or the girlfriend abuser who was shot and the guy screaming the N-word, waving a gun around and, you know, attacking and hitting with a skateboard.
It's crazy.
They stand, the people they are trying to elevate as the good guys here are honestly the worst in society.
Yes.
And Kyle Rittenhouse is a good kid. And Joe Scarborough, who is an overpaid fraud and an idiot, is still running around saying that anybody who talks too nice about Kyle Rittenhouse is a bad person.
Yes, he was not guilty. The jury found him not guilty. The prosecution couldn't prove its case. At the same time, this guy's no hero. And these people on the far right, the fascist right, that are trying to turn him into a hero, they're not doing the country a favor. They're not doing whatever party they belong to a favor. And they're not even doing Second Amendment rights a favor.
No, he's wrong on all counts.
Yes.
He's actually doing all those things a favor. So self-defense still counts in this country. Thank God. By the way, without that, the whole rule of law crumbles. That's really what was at issue here.
And also to respond to Joe Scarborough's idiocy there, a big part of what shows like this and what Tucker did in the interview is not trying to turn Kyle Rittenhouse into a hero. It's merely trying to allow him to reclaim his own story. It's refuting the idea that he's a white supremacist. It's refuting the idea that he traveled across state lines with a weapon, which continues to be spread like crazy. This was a kid, if you listen to the interview, Buck, who went to Kenosha to do his job as a lifeguard in Kenosha, spent the night at his friend's house, and woke up the next morning, saw all the footage that night of the riots going on, went and cleaned off graffiti at a school in the morning, met people who were hoping that their business would not be burned down, and went to try to fill the void of protection created by the idiot governor of Wisconsin who had allowed chaos, bedlam, looting, pillaging, and rioting to take over the city.
So interesting. You can just break this down by saying the night before the Rittenhouse shooting, self-defense, lawful, ethical self-defense incident, would you have felt good to have your photo taken with Kyle Rittenhouse? Absolutely. Would you have wanted to be within 500 feet of the three maniacs who he shot who were attacking him?
No.
Absolutely.
Would you want your
not.
Kids within 500
yeah.
feet of them? Hell no, because they've been charged, at least one of them, with
convicted.
Child sexual assault and convicted and served time.
Yeah. We stand with law and order and the hero here. They stand with the lunatics and the sex offender. When you see the stock market acting in a volatile manner and you feel the effects of inflation in nearly every way, where do you direct your money to keep it safe, keep it protected? The answer is gold, the precious metal you can both purchase and take possession of. There's a certain satisfaction that comes with buying gold and then holding it in your hands. Gold is the most consistent of investments and the most stable, and purchasing gold as part of your savings is a smart plan. If you think buying real gold is complicated, my friends at the Oxford Gold Group are who you need to call today. They'll explain everything to you. Having real gold delivered to your home or having real gold as part of your IRA, it's just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Call them at 833-404-GOLD. And learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. That's the Oxford Gold Group at 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Hope all of you are having a good early Thanksgiving. Remember when comedians used to make jokes, Buck? Remember when they used to just kind of be entertaining and everybody could sit around and have a good laugh when you watched David Letterman or Johnny Carson or Jay Leno back in the day? So Stephen Colbert has basically turned his entire comedy, in quotation marks, show on CBS into a constant screed advertising left-wing politics. There's very little humor. Because humor that doesn't take aim at both sides is just kind of propaganda in the comedic setting. It's what Saturday Night Live has effectively began. So, of course, he had to weigh in on Kyle Rittenhouse. And Stephen Colbert, as part of his monologue now, is talking about what the law should be as it pertains to Kyle Rittenhouse, self-defense in this country. Listen to Colbert here saying if he didn't break the law, we should change the laws.
Big news on Friday was that after being accused of crossing state lines, killing two people, and wounding another last year during a Black Lives Matter protest, Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted on all counts. Okay. Yeah, okay, cards on the table. I'm not a legal expert, so I can't tell you whether or not Kyle Rittenhouse broke the law. But I can tell you this. If he didn't break the law, we should change the law.
Can we address just there are two points here that jump out right away, Clay. One is some clarity here on the crossing state lines.
It's the
law. He crossed state lines, which people do all the time in this country called America. They're referring to taking a firearm across state lines, which he did not do.
Let's be clear here. He didn't even cross state lines. He was already in Kenosha the night before he went
there. I just mean that, like, people started
also,
to think. That,
it's also a border community. How many often do you go to New York or New Jersey or Connecticut?
This would be
telling our New Jersey
audience, hey, if you're in New York, I don't know if you're allowed to cross those state lines.
State lines all the time. It's one of the dumbest parts of this story overall. It's not in any way remotely a crime. The gun was in Wisconsin the entire time.
And let's assume that what he did now, just getting away from the state lines thing is idiotic. It's untrue. But they just say it, right? They say it all the time. Okay, let's get to the meat of this for a moment. Let's get right to the heart of it, the center of it. So they want to change the law such that you can be somewhere lawfully. You can be engaged in no criminal activity, and a mob can decide that it does not like you and does not want you there, and you have an obligation, as an American, to let that mob beat you senseless and possibly to death because they're Joe Biden voters. That would be what the change in the law here would indicate. There's no other option. Either he's allowed to use his rifle when the mob on video, and, you know, Kyle agreed with what I said a week ago, which is that without video, he probably goes to prison.
Yes.
Without actual video of exact... Folks, Clay and I aren't sitting here saying, we think this is what went down. There's video. You can see it. We've seen it. Without that, he probably goes to prison because of the lies. But because there's video, he doesn't. Notice what they're saying, though. Remember when the prosecutor said, sometimes you got to take a beating? That's what the left actually thinks. When BLM comes through your neighborhood or Antifa comes through your neighborhood, you know, pretending to care about BLM or whatever it is.
Or somebody tries to take your car or rob your house or anything, you got to let them do it.
This mentality that the left has embraced is a kind of undermined society, Marxist lunacy. And you see it not just with what happened in Kenosha, but you see it with the response or non-response to the BLM riots all through the summer of the summer of 2020, starting in June. You see it, Clay, with now in San Francisco, and we'll talk about this more in the next hour, where people are being told it's just property crime. If someone breaks into your home, don't do anything about it. Don't even expect the police to show up. It's just property crime. Let them go into the store and steal everything they want. Let them come into your home and take your bicycle or your laptop or whatever. It's just property. What's the alternative? Are you going to harm people when they do this to you? That is now the mentality of the left. It's, what's the big deal? Why is this such an issue? You're going to hurt me because I'm stealing your stuff? Maybe I should hurt you. This is the way they think.
The only thing Stephen Colbert said, and I just want to reiterate again, this is his opening to a comedy show. The only thing he said in that entire statement that was remotely accurate or honest was, I'm not a legal expert. Because let's just follow him, to your point, Buck, let's follow him down the primrose path of changing the law. What law does he want changed? You're not allowed to legally own a weapon. You aren't allowed to legally use that weapon when violent felons who have already been convicted of violent felonies attack you? What is his standard that he is trying? If this was legal, we have to change the law. Well, what law are you changing? Like, that's where you need to really press idiots like this. He's got a huge platform. He's on CBS. He's talking. He's got the idiot people in his audience clapping along with him because they're all not paying attention to any of the details.
Yeah, they're low information, unfortunately. Look, if you think Colbert is funny, you're low information. Just start with that.
But so what is he actually saying? Of course, look, I would have Stephen Colbert on the show. Okay, oh, what laws do you want changed? He wouldn't come on. He would never come on the show.
I think we should just start to tell any of these like leftists with big platforms.
Come on
that say
and make
crazy
your
things.
Argument to our let's, audience.
Let's come on, have them on the show, and people be ready for it. They'll say things you don't like. But Clay and I will address them. We will address these issues on
we'll
air with
them. We'll eviscerate
them,
and they won't. And that's your point, Buck, which I think is a really good one. You know, when I did a sports show, every now and then a lefty loon sports writer would come on and get absolutely disemboweled verbally on the show because they're not used to anybody pushing back against the stupid arguments that they make. And so when Stephen Colbert says, if this is legal, we have to change the law. Okay, what law do you want to change? Do you want no weapons allowed in private possession? That's a pretty big deal. Second Amendment, kind of a significant part of the Constitution. Do you want no self-defense when violent felons attack? Stephen Colbert, you have a family. If your wife is out jogging and she gets attacked in Central Park, which is happening far too often, do you want her to be able to be assaulted? Do you want her to be able to be murdered and not be able to defend herself? And somebody like, what are you trying to argue in this context?
There was another an incident that got far less attention where an Asian American, you might have seen this in Philadelphia, which has a all-time high shooting and murder rate right now. Okay, Philadelphia is out. You don't hear about it a lot. Oh, wait, do they have a Soros? By the way, the Soros-backed prosecutor thing, because I've said this a few times, that's not a conspiracy theory. I see people say this. George Soros and his minions and his foundation and his funds goes to back these. This is public record. He has backed people like Larry Krasner. George Soros backed the prosecutor in Loudoun County, Virginia, who was trying to, you know, not go.
The dad who got upset about his daughter getting sexually assaulted and got prosecuted.
Went after the dad and showed up at that arraignment. But, you know, the kid that raped the girl in the, let's keep that quiet in the school. George Soros backed prosecutor. Philadelphia just had an incident, one that is becoming much more commonplace, unfortunately, across the country, where they a follow home robbery. This is a thing that's happening now because people realize they trained us in the agency. When are you the most, you know, when are you vulnerable, right? You got to think about your roots and patterns. You got to think about where you go. People returning home, the moment they see home, tend to think, oh, I'm home, I'm close, nothing bad's going to happen here. So the bad guys will follow you, wait till, usually if you live in a house, you're off on your own, and then they rob you at your own door, and they'll even make you go inside and give them more of your stuff, and they'll hold the gun to your head while you're doing this. They tried it against an Asian American food delivery driver, you know, for one of those services, Uber Eats or whatever. He happened to be a concealed carry permit holder.
Oh, I read
and he,
this.
And he shot them both. One of them died, I believe. One of them is in critical condition. So what's the, I just want to know, does Stephen Colbert want the law to change? They were holding a gun to his head.
That's right.
And say, give me everything you got. This guy has just finished a long day working hard. He's Asian American. He's struggling to put food on the table for his family and do his best in our society. And he's got two guys who I'm sure have long criminal records, but, you know, just a guess, who hold a gun up to his head and say, give us everything or we'll kill you. And he draws down and shoots them both. Does Colbert want the law changed? Now, should that food delivery driver go to prison for the rest of his life because of social justice?
Should he have to get murdered so he's not got a gun and able to protect himself? I mean, again, the stupidity of leaving aside the fact that he's a comedian, the stupidity of Stephen Colbert's argument deserves to be called out by all rational people in a big way. And by the way, as we get ready to roll into the break, when you're spending too much money already on gas, food, as I know many of you are, and a lot of other essential expenses, you don't need to be overpaying for cell phone service. Instead, you can switch to PureTalk Cellular. That's what my own 13-year-old uses. Eighth grader, he's got the exact same 5G network using the exact same towers as one of the big carriers, but he saves a lot of money for our family. You could save $50 or $60 a month. That adds up to $800 a year. Switching's easy. You get to keep your same number and your same phone, or you can even go get a brand new phone with an incredible offer. Right now, unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data on PureTalk's 5G network, just $30 a month. And you can get hooked up right now with an iPhone 12 for just $479. Thousands of you have already done it. Buck, how do they make the switch?
So easy, folks. From your cell phone right now, dial #250 and say PureTalk. You'll save 50% off your first month and save on a new phone. That's #250, say PureTalk. Remember, PureTalk has a 30-day risk-free guarantee, so you literally have nothing to lose. #250, say PureTalk. Some restrictions apply. Call for details. The Democrat brand is in trouble, everybody. Oh my gosh. That is not a surprise to anyone with even a faint grasp, a loose grip on reality in America today. Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. Clay and I are making all of the craziness, well, we can't make it make sense, but we're making sense of it, I suppose, making it seem like we're not all surrounded by and constantly deluged with lunacy. We got a few problems here, though, right? A few things that we have to address. One of them is the big crime issue, which Clay and I will talk with you about in a few minutes, specifically through the lens of what the heck is going on in San Francisco. And I know we're on KSRO out there, and if you actually, you know what, Clay? We wanted to do this. If you live in the Bay Area and you've got some stories about the madness that you are seeing and going through, or you've lived in the Bay Area recently and, you know, have been told that, oh, they only stole two bicycles, a laptop, broke your front door, and threatened to steal your cat, cops will be there in a few days. You know, if you've been through that, let us know. Call in 800-282-2882. But here are the problems the Biden administration has. The twin problems right now, I think the biggest ones. Well, there's a lot of them. I don't think we could say the biggest ones. But two of them that I want to focus in on with Clay here for a second. One is inflation. Here is Larry Kudlow, who knows that with the big Build Back Better Biden super spending situation, it's only going to get worse.
Well, I fear it will get worse. Yes, I don't know what's going to stop it. I mean, look, the pandemic inflation, as I call it, the supply chain shortages and that stuff has lasted longer, but I think that's actually beginning to taper down. But what's not tapering down is the monetary inflation. The Fed's balance sheet, the Fed is jamming bank reserves into the economy. This excess money, nobody wants this money. They already have more money. They know what to do with, for heaven's sake. But that's what's sustaining inflation. And unless he deals with that, Jay Powell, yes, it's going to get worse, too. That's my fear. It's going to be longer. The inflation would be more durable. And eventually, the economy and the stock market will suffer.
Yep. That's one big problem they've got. Clay, the other one is in this identified or addressed in this Politico piece. What Democrats discovered largely through focus groups and polling, this is from Josh Crashour's Twitter, was even worse than expected. The problems for the Democrats cut far deeper than the failings of McAuliffe or Biden. Rather, the Democrat Party's entire brand was a wreck.
It's toxic. And that's why I keep saying it, but it's true. There's lots of you nodding your head out there who never would have listened to Clay Travis or Buck Sexton 3 years ago. You have been driven to us by all of the lies that you have seen in the media on a day-to-day basis and by the absolute toxicity of the Democratic Party. And I think when they ultimately do sort of the review, the deep dive into what happened and explain 2021, 2022, and what we're headed to in 2024, what they are going to find is that the Democratic Party turned itself over to Twitter in the belief that Twitter was real life. And the reality is Twitter is a carnival funhouse mirror that doesn't remotely reflect what real Americans care about on a day-to-day basis, because most Americans are too busy to sit around hitting refresh on their Twitter screens all day long. Now, media can do that. It doesn't mean that Twitter's not entertaining and that there's lots of stories out there. But the analogy, I wrote this in my most recent book, Buck. I said, hey, if you were trying to figure out whether or not you were in good shape or what you needed to do, because there's a lot of us that are going to be putting on weight during the holiday season, you went to a carnival. And you stood in front of those old funhouse mirrors that make you look too tall or too fat or too wide, and you tried to judge the right way to fit your diet by looking at that reflection in that carnival funhouse mirror, you would get a distorted sense of reality, and your response would be worse than if you had never looked in that mirror in the first place. That is Twitter and what it's done to the Democratic Party. It's destroyed the brand.
They got a big problem. Because how do they turn all this around? If they're going to rely on Joe Biden, they're going to have quite an issue here. They don't have a charismatic leader. They don't even have a leader who seems like he is entirely or even perhaps somewhat of sound mind.
I don't think it's at all clear that he intends to run again. But I do think that as a political matter, you have to say that. Because if you suggest or hint or outright say that you're not going to run again, that makes you instantly a lame duck. And lame duck presidents don't do well. People don't, their influence wanes overnight. So I think this was boilerplate in a sense, but boilerplate that had to be uttered. I think it's a far cry from certain he'll run again, and he'll be in any condition to. In fact, I think the thing we have to watch is the question of whether he serves out his first term. He's clearly deteriorating. He's clearly senile, and his health is, despite his doctor's claims to the contrary, you know, when you're falling down stairs and so on, as he did climbing the stairs to Air Force One, that's worrisome.
Clay, this is Britt Hume. I know Britt a little bit. I know his work well. He's a very even
middle
keeled,
of the road. He ain't, you know, the guy who's going to be throwing.
He calls it. He calls it like it is.
Yes.
And he's using words like senile and clearly deteriorating.
Yeah, and I think he nailed it. And that is a reflection. By the way, Britt Hume is speaking for the majority of Americans. That's what the majority of Americans believe right now. And every single day, week, month, Joe Biden falls further apart. I do agree with him that publicly Biden has to pretend that he's going to run in 2024, because as soon as he says he's not, he has no political capital at all. And that's why he's got to lie right now. But there's no way they can drag him across the finish line.
I mean, and how, what's the smooth way to do the whole, hey, you know how we said that he was fine? Actually, he's not. Here's our next candidate, America, for you to support as a Democrat. There's no easy way to pull that switch. And what does it mean for Kamala, by the way?
Oh, it's Kamala versus Mayor Pete.
It's gonna, that will be an interesting one. The intersectionality warfare that will be going on will be amazing. But we want to come back and talk to you about the crime wave, these theft mobs running across major cities in America. What are Democrat mayors doing about it, and why is this happening? Why isn't Biden speaking out against it? I thought he was Mr. Anti-Crime. Oh, no, that was 30 years ago. We'll get into it coming up.